A group of horror fans take a tour to a small town in Maryland. They want to check out the sights of their favorite horror film, but they soon realize that there's a lot of supernatural happenings in this little town. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the movie Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. You know, the 1999 movie that started the whole found footage phenomenon. So stay tuned and we'll dive right in. All right, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Captain Groovy and Final Girl podcast. I'm your host, Captain Groovy. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Book of Shadows, Blair Witch Project 2. I don't know if you're like me. I watched the original film because of all the hype that it ended up receiving when it first came out. A lot of people had a hard time, you know, distinguishing if it was a real found footage, because that's the way the marketing went. So in 1999, I mean, that was a great way to market that film. I mean, like I said, everybody, you know, was all hyped up about it. They believed the hype. One of my issues with that movie, I won't go too much into it because this is about the sequel, was the fact that there was a lot of shaky cam. And yeah, I understand about the shaky cam, the handheld, you know, thing. It's supposed to add a little bit of intensity, you know, supposed to get the viewers kind of, you know, on edge, give them this, you know, feel, as opposed to a static, you know, shot or shot that's tracking and things like that. So, you know, I get it. And it was like one of the kind. And then all of a sudden everybody had to do this found footage thing, and it's, you know, kind of evolved to its own genre. I don't think I've seen a whole lot of the found footage type of films, but the ones I have, I always kind of look at and see how they go about handling the genre. But this was the first time I've seen Book of Shadows. I believe I remember hearing about it. I wasn't interested at the time when it came out, just for the sole purpose that I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. I mean, I enjoyed it. I respected it. But it wasn't something that I was like a fan saying, oh, dude, I got to watch this all the time. Or, hey, I got to watch this, you know, again, I haven't seen it in a while. It wasn't one of those movies that, you know, I tend to gravitate to watch over and over again. I mean, it's not like a Friday the 13th. It's not like an Evil Dead 2, a Halloween, things like that. So how did I come about to watch this film? It was one of those things where I was just kind of going through, and this is a free plug, Pluto TV. I've mentioned it a few times, not only on the show, but also on our Facebook page, which you guys should follow. Shameless plug right there, you know. The Captain Groovy and the Final Girl podcast on Facebook. Yes. So just one night I was just sitting there and it came on. If you're familiar with Pluto TV, it's kind of like you see the channel guide, you know, that has its horror channel. It's channel specific for horror films. And it was on. So I think I caught it midway and I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good. What movie is this? And then I looked at it and it's like, oh, Book of Shadows. So I ended up looking it up and going into the actually have an area on Pluto TV where it's kind of like they're on demand. So the movies that they do show, you know, live, you can actually go in and watch that. And I have to say, I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, different. So, you know, like right off the get go, they don't sit there and try and pretend this is, you know, like a found footage. They actually acknowledge that it was a movie. Some of the townspeople were there and they're trying to capitalize on tourists coming in, trying to see, you know, where they filmed the, you know, the stuff. They wanted to see if there was really a Blair Witch in the town. So this movie basically takes place right after the movie. They do a lot of like little short interviews of residents of the small town. They talk about how they wish that they would have used the name of their town, that they, you know, hope that they would have used a fictitious, you know, fictitious town name, just because all the tourists that come into town. And the movie does a little jumping back and doing these flash scenes and stuff like that. I mean, I was reading and apparently the director, Joe Berlinger, was saying that he wasn't happy with the, because I haven't listened to the DVD commentary. I'll have to definitely, you know, see if I can either rent the DVD off Netflix, because Netflix still does physical discs. Or maybe I'll see it at the bargain bin and, you know, and pick it up and add it to my collection. But as I was saying, according to the director, the studio wanted to make a couple of changes, a couple of cuts to his film that he wasn't happy. I don't know exactly what scenes those are, but there was, like I said, there was a lot of like flashbacks and kind of, trying to paint like these different timelines. I think they were trying to do like flash forwards with flashbacks, kind of something like Lost used to do. And I know sometimes if you watch the TV show Lost, you could have basically got lost. So in the beginning, it's kind of a little confusing. So, like I said, they go ahead and do kind of like a point of view from the resident standpoint. They throw in kind of like, timeline dates on the screen to let you know when these, events are happening. They show a scene where they show Jeff, who happens to be one of the residents there, and he happens to be the guy that takes this group of fans to the sites. So it takes place like it shows him in kind of like a psych ward where these doctors are doing some kind of experiment, and they say, it's 1998. And, you just don't know what the heck they're doing. They're shoving, like a hose up his nose and just like, pouring some liquid in there. So you don't really know what is going on with the movie and with the scene. Then they do the whole cutback where they do, nice, aerial shot, obviously before drones, where it's just going around the river and the, the woods and all that other stuff. Onto grandmother's house we go. Okay, sorry about that. I couldn't resist. So the movie takes place in, they say autumn of 1999. And then they kind of, so when they show that scene, they show, they play like this really heavy metal music to kind of, well, not heavy metal music, I guess it's punk because I think it's like a Marilyn Manson song or something. So they want to get you, all revved up, for it, give you this, feel to the movie. And, I've always mentioned about how music can make, the audience feel a certain way. And, sometimes the music works, sometimes it doesn't work. So in this one here, then they do a flash forward and Jeffrey is getting interrogated. You don't know what the heck is going on. So it keeps jumping a lot in the very beginning. And then it cuts back to when he actually meets the group of people that want to go on this tour. And this takes place November 12th of 1999. So he's, he's in his van. He's having fun with the people. And they're driving kind of towards a graveyard because they have to pick up like the last, tour person. And each of them, are there for their own special reason. They have a girl named Erica who happens to be a Wiccan. So she's along this tour. They have a boyfriend and girlfriend, Sean and Tristan. And they happen to be working on kind of like an investigation. Kind of they're writing a thesis, they're doing some research about the Blair Witch. So they're there to, he's there, I think, to debunk it because, he's obviously, he's scientific, so he's got there's always something wrong, this is an illusion, that kind of stuff. You got to have those guys in the horror movies, because they got to be proven wrong because there is a monster, there's a ghost, there's something. You want to say it's scientifically impossible for something? Guess what? In the movies, it's always possible, dude. So just give it up, but hey, it's movies. So they go and pick up she looks like a goth girl, but it ends up being that she does have kind of like psychic powers. Her name is Kim. So they pick her up and, off they go. And then they go do kind of shopping at a little small, like a little grocery store. And, obviously, if you're from a small town and you see people, kind of dress a little bit different, obviously you're going to stick out. They're going to look at you, because this looked like an older, small community. This happens to be in Maryland. And, like I said, it's like there's someone that's dressed kind of like a goth. There's kind of like a Wiccan. So she's kind of like, free spirited kind of, person. So you see kind of like the stereotypical town folk people there. So, small, general store. So anyways, they get their supplies. They finally go to their destination, and they're checking it out. They're all, they're in awe that they're there where the movie was, was shot at, and then they start talking. They think that Jeff is kind of like, BSing them. Because there's like this big old tree just sitting in the middle that, of the remains of where the house should have been. So, as they're looking around, then they see kind of like all these like, I'm going to say cryptic writings just around the, the leftover brick or stone, that used to be part of the house, like the lower part of the walls. And the thing is, it looks like it's all is all fresh, you know, so they're just thinking, you know, Jeffrey, who is the tour guide, might have done some of this stuff just to spook them out, just to get some more money, you know, kind of like milk the experience, you know, for the amount of money that they're paying. You know, and then they start talking, you know, as they're going ahead and they're, you know, setting up camp. Then it's revealed that Tristan is basically, you know, pregnant, but she hasn't told Sean yet. So they're all having a good time, you know, just setting up camp and stuff. So they're drinking, they're kind of sharing their experiences. You know, like the Wiccan girl starts talking about how people have this bad perception of witches, you know, thinking that they do, you know, sacrifices, you know, drink blood. There's just a lot of negativity towards them. Then the other girl, who's a psychic, you know, goth girl, she talks about how people perceive her as being kind of like a Satanist and stuff, and just, you know, like a devil worshiper. And obviously the Sean, who happens to be the scientist guy, he starts talking about how, like, the Bermuda Triangle is just, you know, BS, and it's just, you know, people's perception and the stories that's basically given life to this myth. So the more people believe in it, they think that it's like, hey, this is real, and then any time or anything that happens to be out of the ordinary experience, they kind of, you know, blame it on the myth, you know, like, oh, it's the Bermuda Triangle. So they're having fun, sharing their experiences, just, you know, kind of getting to know each other. Then they hear a noise and they start to freak out. And obviously Jeff is documenting everything. He has cameras set up everywhere. He grabs his handheld camera, and it's another tour group that comes up, and they kind of get into a little verbal heated discussion because apparently they didn't know that they were going to be there, you know, that Jeff's group was going to be there. So they were kind of arguing. So Sean interjects between Jeff and the other group. And he just says, you know, hey, man, can we just stay here till dawn? Because, you know, we're still shaken up with the stuff that we saw over at Coffin Rock. And some of the other girls, you know, jump into the conversation, and they're saying they're so scared. They wanted to go home, but it's a long trip, so they just want to go ahead and just kind of camp out there. And the other people that are on the tour group, you know, they're hearing like, what's this about Coffin, you know, Rock? We want to go see that too. So they ask, you know, their tour guides, like, can we go? Can we go? Can you please, you know, send us there? And they're like, well, fine, we'll go up there. So that kind of eases the tension between the two tour groups, because they end up going to Coffin Rock, while Jeff and his crew gets to stay there where the remains of the house, you know, the ruins. So as they take off, they're like, yeah, guys, they'll next time, you know, won't you take a Blair Witch, you know, walk and let us stay. So as they walk off, I think Sean makes the comment. I didn't catch who did, but one of them makes a comment saying, you know, they'll be back when they find out there's nothing over there. And this psychic girl, Kim, she's like, yeah, I don't think they're coming back. And they're like, how do you know? She's like, I just don't think they're coming back. So with the other tour group, you know, off to Coffin Rock, hey, they're going to go ahead and start drinking and just, you know, party and then just kind of live it up. So they do what, you know, not everybody, but most people do, you know, drink, you know, laugh, have fun. You know, smoke some weed, reflect on, you know, their lives and stuff like that, you know. And it was funny because, you know, obviously, you know, Jeff is trying to pick up on the, you know, two different girls, and he's, you know, talking about like, hey, we can have a, you know, we can make a film about Wiccans, and it'll be starring you, you know. And then he goes and he talks to Kim, and he's like, you know, yeah, we can make a movie about you. And she's like, you know, you're just, you know, BSing me. And, you know, it was funny because it kind of stood out in my mind where he's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, you know what? He goes, video never lies, but film does. And it's kind of like, eh, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, just that whole comment, because I mean, technically film, video, they can all be manipulated, you know, to tell a narrative, you know, but if it's live video, it's a little bit hard to manipulate that. So it was just funny. It was just something that just, you know, stood in my head after he said it. I was like, huh, interesting. You know, so like I said, they're all having a good time. They're drinking and stuff like that. And then there's a one weird scene where Kim's laying down, you know, and just kind of looking up at the sky. And then she's having like these weird, you know, flashbacks of people getting, you know, stabbed. And then there's an owl, you know, just looking at her. And she's having these flashbacks. So you're getting this whole like, oh, okay. So this is where the sacrifice of the Blair Witch was. And, you know, she's having these visions and stuff. So they keep doing a lot of those in that scene. And then they just cut to, like, you know, like the next morning. And then you see, you know, Tristan, you know, waking up, goes over to the lake, She's got a towel, and then she goes, just starts walking with her clothes on into the lake, puts the towel down, and then all this blood starts coming out. And then you see like this, you know, like a baby, you know, like she was drowning a baby. Then she wakes up and she's, you know, just in her tent. So it was weird. She's just having these weird dreams. And, you know, like I said, Kim's having these, you know, weird visions. But when they all wake up, I think the only two that were actually in a tent, I think, because that's the only part that they show, was Tristan and Steve. So what ended up happening is everything is destroyed. The cameras are all busted open. Like, it looks like it's, like flakes of ash is just, you know, kind of like snowing down, but it's actually all the reports, all the research paper that they had was all like shredded. And, you know, they've all blacked out. Nobody knows what happened, you know, as they were drinking. Nobody, you know, heard anything, nothing. They just woke up and they just see this, you know, just this massive destruction, broken cameras, you know, tripods are broken, you know, and like I said, all the papers all shredded everywhere. So they start arguing, they start yelling at each other, and then they're like, you know, where's Erica, who is, you know, the witch? And she comes around from, you know, the other side. Then Jeff starts asking her, you know, hey, you know, did you do this? Do you know who did this? You know, just, you know, really laying into her. And Kim's like, you know, leave her alone. She didn't do it. She doesn't know. Like, well, did you do it? And they're all upset. And she's like, no, I sense that the tapes are still here. And they're like, well, how do you know that? She goes, I don't know. She goes, I have a feeling that they're still here. They're somewhere. And they're like, you know, yelling at her. It's like, well, why don't you, you know, find out? And she's like, just look. And then after they finally go, and she goes, it's right there, right where Heather had her tapes, you know, making a reference to the movie. So they end, you know, so they go to that one spot, you know, the corner where she was just kind of like looking, where, which I thought was weird because, you know, like Blair Witch, went the ending, when they saw her just kind of like in the corner of the wall, it just reminded me like when you're playing a video game and you get stuck and you can't do anything and your character is just kind of like running in place, but you're just stuck. So anyways, he goes, they're there. Just, and he's like, starts digging, goes, I don't see anything. And she goes, keep digging. She goes, there's like a space or something in there, like a box or, so he reaches down and he pulls out like all these tapes. And Erica's like, are those your tapes? And he goes, how did you know this? You know, how did you, you know, he goes, did you put them here? Or how come they didn't take them or whatever? And, you know, Erica's like, well, are those your tapes? He said, yes. And, you know, she's like, okay, so it's not those guys. Those guys didn't come and break them, because if they came and broke your equipment, they would have, you know, taken your tapes. Why would have they, you know, why would they have hidden your tapes? So they're trying to make sense of what's going on. I mean, they're all kind of like, you know, just arguing, bickering. And then, you know, Tristan just tells them, you know, all they need to calm down. And then all of a sudden it's like they see that she's bleeding, which, you know, makes you obviously know that she's having a miscarriage. So they ended up taking her, you know, to the hospital. And which is weird, is because then there's a cut scene where they're asking Jeff about, you know, what's going on. And they're like, you know, boy, if you don't tell me what's going to go on or what's going on here, you're going to wind up back into the loony bin. So they've already kind of, you know, acknowledged that they, the opening scene, we saw that he was in some kind of, you know, like experiment, but now they've actually made reference and acknowledged like, yeah, this guy was in a psych ward. So they go back to Tristan and you see her laying in a bed and, you know, the nurse tells her, you know, that, you know, she's lost a baby, you know, it's normal. It's just her body's way of telling her that there is something wrong and not to take it, you know, too hard. And as, you know, the nurse is like, you know, pulling the curtains away to give her, you know, privacy and stuff, she sees a ghost of this, you know, like young girl, and she's kind of like walking backwards and she disappears. And then they show him, you know, all going back to Jeff's house. He's going to bring them there, you know, and then they can figure out what they're going to do, see if they can figure out what's going on. And then it's like there's a weird flash to, I think it's a flash forward or something, where they're showing the guy named Craven, who happens to be the sheriff of the town. And he's, you know, telling them, we found blood in your van and we're willing to, you know, bet that it belongs to one of the tourists. So they cut back into, they're all in Jeff's house and they're going to go ahead and watch, you know, the footage and find out exactly what happened during that period while they were sleeping. So as they're watching it, there's a lot of glitches. They're looking at the time code and the time code, you know, jumps from like, you know, 1 a.m. to like, I think it was like 3 a.m., you know, and there's just, you know, weird, you know, ghost imagery that are, you know, happening, and not ghost as in apparitions or anything like that, but just, you know how, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, you know, sometimes when you're back in the old days, you're tuning in the channels, and then it looked like two channels, you know, kind of came together or something like that. Then it's something like that. And while they're there, you know, Tristan is hearing, or actually not Tristan, but Steven's hearing noises. He thinks it's Tristan calling him out. He goes, she's asleep. He's hearing voices coming through some kind of vent coming from outside, but there's nobody else, you know, besides them. Tristan's asleep. Steven's just there. Jeff, Kim, and Erica, they're all just sitting there watching the footage. Jeff is looking through the footage, and then he does frame by frame, and then he sees what it looks like a naked girl going around a tree, you know, but it looks like she's, you know, walking around a stripper pole. So Kim tells him, like, is there any way that you can, you know, freeze that? And he goes, well, you know what, let me go ahead and just kind of, you know, blow up the image, see if I can make it clear. And, you know, Steven and Erica are kind of in the kitchen talking, and then they're having, like, some kind of, like, weird vision where an experience, like, where they're, like, basically, you know, making out with each other, and they're seeing all these weird symbols on their body, and Erica kind of, like, claws him, you know, in the chest, you know, and he starts to bleed. And then it's weird because it cuts to them being on the opposite end of this, you know, maybe 8-foot table, 10-foot table, and they both know something just happened, but not in reality. They just had this, you know, visual, like, weird experience. So they finally go inside, back to the room where, you know, Jeff is editing, and they're like, did you find out who that is? And he's like, yeah, you know, and he was able to show the footage, and you see the girl, she's naked. They have her, then he starts playing the video frame by frame, and as she comes into, because you only see her from the back, and then she's kind of turning around, and then you finally see her face, and it ends up being Erica. So Erica thinks they're playing a joke on her, and, you know, they're like, well, you don't remember this? And she's like, no, I don't remember walking around, you know, naked around the tree. And they're like, well, that is you. And she's like, you know, I think this is just a trick. So she gets, you know, she gets upset, and she goes. Nobody can, you know, verify what's going on. And then this ends up being, like, too much for Kim. So Kim's like, you know, let me borrow your car. I need to go grab some beer. And he's like, you know, make sure we have coffee, because I need coffee. I need caffeine. So she goes off to the little market, and, you know, there's just some punks out there, and they're just, you know, like, hey, baby. And they're like, hey, what's up, Morticia? You know, and, you know, another kid's like, you know, hey, I got something you can suck blood off. And she's like, oh, yeah, why don't you whip it out? You know, just to shut them up. So she goes in, and she buys, you know, some beer, but the lady at the counter doesn't want to sell it to her. And she's like, well, let me talk to your manager. And she's like, well, I'm your manager. Or she goes, I'm the manager of the store. And she goes, oh, okay. Well, then can you tell the bitch at the register to do her job and ring me up? So she doesn't want to ring her up. So Kim goes through her wallet, gives her the money, says, keep the fucking change. And she heads out. She walks out of the truck, or she walks out to her truck. Nobody's there. Everything's quiet. She gets in there. And as she's driving, for some reason, like, those kids just start throwing rocks at her, and they're just saying, you know, stone the witch, stone the witch. And she swerves to miss, like, a group of, like, five little kids that end up disappearing. She bumps into the tree, or she crashes into the tree, but just kind of having a, she just dents the bumper. So she ends up going back to Jeff's house. She tells Jeff, you know, what happened. And, you know, she ended up getting the beer. So it ends up being the, you know, the next morning. And, you know, Steven's telling Tristan, you know, to get ready. They need to go. She's still sleepy. She's not ready to go. He's looking around. They can't find Erica. And Tristan's finally up. And then she just starts talking about how the kids, you know, dip their, you know, how the kids put their hands in your blood. And then they touch you on your, you know, on your stomach. And then she's like, you know, I know Jeff was dreaming about this. And he's like, what, you know, what the heck are you talking about? She's like, lift your shirt up. So he lifts up his shirt, and all these little handprints are all over his, you know, all over his body, and he doesn't know what's going on. And they're all just talking about, like, yeah, well, we have all these weird things on our, you know, on our bodies. It's just, you know, some sort of rash. And they're trying to come up with a logical explanation, but some of these just happen to be these weird symbolic symbols. So after he's pulling up his shirt, everyone's, like, you know, freaking out, and they just can't find Erica. Erica's missing again. So they decide that they're going to search the place for her. They can't find her whatsoever. So they end up making a phone call because I guess, you know, when they fill out the application, they had to fill out, you know, emergency contact and stuff. So when they called her quote unquote parents, who happened to be, you know, like he was a minister. So she told him that basically he disowned her. So when Jeff called and they're like, they don't have a daughter. And he's like, yeah, I know. I heard the story that they disowned her, but really we can't, you know, we don't know where she's at. We're just hoping that, you know, you guys heard from her. And they're like, no, he's never had, you know, any kind of children ever before. So they kind of get all, you know, suspicious and start pinning the blame on her because they, you know, they're like, okay, she gave us a fake name. We know she's a witch. She's not here. She's the one that did all the damage to the camera. She ripped up all the paperwork. You know, we don't know why she did that, but we know that she did it. Kim was basically the only one that would, you know, that was sticking up for her. And, well, Steve also at the same time, but Jeff just wasn't buying it from him either because he was just saying, well, what makes you exempt from being, you know, a suspect as well? They ended up getting a phone call from the sheriff, and the sheriff's, you know, told him that there's been a grisly murder in the woods and that they shouldn't be leaving the county until he comes and sees them and he clears them. So Steven and Tristan still want to leave, but Jeff's like, I'm not taking you guys anywhere. And then he notices, actually a little bit earlier, he noticed that his truck or his van was actually, I don't want to say destroyed, but it was like, it just wasn't a little fender bender. It was the engine was all like, you know, smashed up. The door seemed like it was ripped open. It was just almost like if it was in a big, you know, like head on collision with a truck or something, you know, so the damages didn't match, you know, just hitting a tree, you know, at 15 miles per hour, a slower speed. So with the sheriff, when he, you know, he called, he had them tune into the station or turn to the TV station, and you see him there. He's like, you see me? He goes, you guys ain't leaving. And apparently, like, the group that was grisly murdered was the group that they met up with. Because the descriptions all fit, you know, one German, two Caucasian guys, and two Asians were murdered, kind of like in the way of the Blair Witch. And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, an owl just comes busting through the, like, the glass ceiling. And it's just, you know, it's just laying there. And they're all, you know, like, freaking out because all these weird instances are just happening. And, you know, they're like, okay, there's something wrong. I mean, earlier when Erica was still there, she alluded that they brought something back. And Kim, she can definitely kind of feel the presence as well. So she's definitely, you know, like I said, just defending, you know, Erica, even though she's not there, they know, you know, she didn't do it. And then Tristan starts, you know, like mumbling all these different things about what happened to the Blair Witch. You know, she was saying that, you know, as she was tied to the tree, you know, she wasn't dead, and all these little boys came in with their dogs and let their dogs bite her. They all poked her with sticks as she was, you know, tied there. And then they were just, you know, kind of left her there, you know, to die. So Kim is worried about Tristan, you know, Tristan not being herself. Tristan's, you know, is going to need some help, you know, because she thinks, you know, mentally she's probably losing it. She's getting hysterical for, you know, everything that's happened. So she's looking for a phone book, you know, and Jeff's like, yeah, go check that drawer over there. She goes and checks the drawer. And what she finds is she finds, you know, files of her, Steve, Tristan, and Erica. Then she starts confronting Jeff and asking him, you know, hey, have you, you know, were you doing a background check on us? Were you, you know, were you doing all this to mess with us? And he's like, I haven't seen those before, you know, in my life. I don't know how they got there. He goes, I didn't grab them. He goes, I didn't put them there. I don't know what you're talking about. And all of a sudden he hears Craven calls. He goes, I'm going to see you. And he's like, okay, when do you want to see? He goes, I can't go down to the station now. And he goes, no, I'm here. Let me in. So, you know, he hears, you know, Craven yelling at him, like, come on, boy, let me in, you know, or else I'm going to send you to the, you know, loony bin. And as he goes out to unlock the door, he doesn't see him. Nothing's there. And then he just sees some dogs there. So he grabs his shotgun and goes out there to go shoot the dogs. When he opens up the door again, the dogs are gone. And so he knows he's tripping. Everybody's tripping. Then they come down and see him with a gun, and they're telling him, you know, put the gun away. And they're like, you know, where's Erica? They end up finding Erica dead in the closet. So obviously they start pointing fingers on who, you know, killed her. And then all of a sudden, you know, Tristan has this, you know, epiphany, and she's like, it's backwards. And they're like, what do you mean backwards? They're like, She's like, everything is backwards. It's Wendershin. And they're like, what the hell is that? So they, so she told Chef to play the videos backwards and nothing happened. And they're like, well, try the keystrokes backwards. Everything has to be backwards. So once he does that, all of a sudden they see what happened between that time that they didn't see anything. And then basically they're watching the video and it's basically them doing all the destruction. And Jeff's breaking up his cameras. Erica's, you know, like dancing around, you know, nude. Kim is there. Tristan is there. Tristan and Steven are ripping up their research, you know, just shredding it. And then, you know, it's like basically it shows them, you know, stabbing all these, you know, all these people. And basically, you know, during this time, they were all possessed and they went and killed that other tour group. They did all the destruction themselves to their equipment. I mean, they still don't know, you know, why this happened. They're still arguing. Jeff turns on Tristan and he's like, yeah, you know what? She's actually the witch. She's the one, you know, that orchestrated everything. She's the, you know, we need to get answers from her. So she's kind of like backing away from these guys. And, you know, she's like, yeah, you guys just want me to, you know, take the blame for this. And then as they're kind of like, you know, kind of going towards her, she keeps going up and up on the loft, you know, she's going up the spiral, you know, stairs to the other level of the building. And then she grabs, you know, like, it's weird because then she grabs a rope and then she kind of ties it around her neck. So as Steven gets close and he's trying to, you know, like stop her, she falls off and then she basically hangs herself. You know, Jeff has got the camera there because he's trying to get a confession. Then it cuts to where they're getting arrested. The news reporters are basically saying that they were responsible for murdering the other tour group and murdering the two girls, you know, in their group. So basically Steven, Kim, and Jeff are being blamed for it. They show Jeff's van. They're saying we found blood in here. And the thing is like the van is just perfectly fine. There's no damage to it, nothing. So they're down at the station and Craven is interrogating, you know, Jeff. And he tells him that he has all of Jeff's tapes. He sent them to the college to have them, you know, edit the tapes together. He has a good idea of what happened. And Jeff is sitting there thinking, okay, so I documented everything. And everything should clear us. Then they do a cut where they show, you know, Steven. And he's being, you know, interrogated. And they're asking if he remembers anything about the stabbings. He says he doesn't remember of it. Kim is accused of stabbing the store clerk. She says, you know, she didn't. But she acknowledges that they had an argument. They show her a video of her actually stabbing the clerk in the head, in the side of the head. And then, you know, they're talking to Jeff and they're saying, you know, you're the one that killed Erica. And they're like, you know, why did you kill her? You know, because, you know, she wasn't into you or whatever. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they actually had footage of his home because he had a home security cameras inside because, you know, the whole time they alluded that he's, you know, he was paranoid. So he had cameras around the house. They show him putting Erica in the closet. So they have that footage of him doing that. And then it cuts to the other two detectives that are questioning Steve. You know, Steve's like, watch the video. I did not, you know, kill Tristan, you know, because they're blaming him that he killed her because, you know, she had a miscarriage. And they're like, you know, that's really messed up. So they show him the video and the video, you know, it's kind of glitchy as well. So they, you know, they only see the part where she's got the rope around her neck and it looks like he actually pushed her. And then he looks into the camera and he's like, you know, something like, you witch, or something like that. And he's like, that's not how it happened. He goes, the tapes, you know, they've been manipulated. You know, he's like, he goes, it didn't happen that way. You know, he goes, someone messed with the tapes. So after all that, it cuts to seeing everybody handcuffed, getting put in the car after the station. I think they're getting hauled off to prison or, you know, some holding cell. And the reporters are all talking about, you know, like, again, you know, art, or life imitates, you know, violent art, and these, you know, movie fans, you know, went crazy and they killed the tour guide people and them and two of their own members, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, that's where the movie ends. Watching it the first time, you know, I thought it was pretty interesting. And then watching it again, it was, you know, for the notes, it was good still. I have to say, I think I enjoyed this one better than the Blair Witch Project. And the second time I did miss, you know, or did not miss, I should say, the second time I caught stuff that I missed the first time. Let's see, let's go to the things here. It looks like the IMDb gave them a 3.9 stars. There's a couple of people that actually rated, you know, 2 out of 10. I've seen a 6 out of 10. So it's all over the place, but mainly kind of in the lower end. If I had to rate this movie between 1 and 10, I would probably give it maybe a 6.5. You know, it sounds pretty high, I guess, higher than IMDb average rating is. But, you know, like I said, watching it the second time, I was still entertained. Would I watch it again? I probably would watch it again. I mean, not right away. I mean, you know, later down the road, you know, if somebody said, hey, you know, you want to watch, you know, Book of Shadows, it's like, sure, you know, give it a shot. I didn't think the acting was horrible. I thought the acting was pretty well. There's a couple of things I didn't like about the movie was the flashbacks. There's just too many flashbacks throughout the movie. I would have taken a lot, you know, that kind of stuff out. I didn't think the beginning intro with Jeff needed to be in there, because it's like, I don't know. I mean, it puts a doubt in people's mind. Maybe it was done to make you think like, oh, maybe he did it or he's crazy, you know, kind of like foreshadowing. But, you know, the thing is, it was, you know, that was before everything happened. It's just, I don't know. To me, it was something that really wasn't for the story. But other than that, I thought the story was pretty solid, and just the build up from the moment they were at camp all the way till they got to back to Jeff's house. So judging by the box office and the budget, it looks like it was probably considered a bomb. It looks like it was an estimated $15 million was put into this film. Opening weekend, it only made $13 domestically. I guess the gross was $26 million, and worldwide it only made $47 million. So from, I guess, the worldwide and the, you know, budget, I mean, there was a lot of money, but I think they were probably disappointed with the opening weekend. You know, I don't know if it's because the turnaround was pretty fast with when they made this movie, but maybe they should have let the movie kind of, you know, sit for a while before they went ahead and shot the sequel to it. You know, like I said, the acting was pretty solid. A lot of these actors and actresses did well, in my opinion. I really liked Jeffrey Donovan, who played Jeffrey. And it's weird because a lot of these people, their first names happen to be the names of their character. And, you know, like I said, I was a fan of Jeffrey Donovan because I'd known him from Burn Notice. So I thought he was pretty good in there. So it was just kind of cool seeing him in a different character where he didn't always figure his way out. He didn't know all the answers to things, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So give it a shot. If you got nothing, you know, to watch, you're looking for, you know, something with a pretty decent story, something that's kind of familiar to something that you've already seen, you know, like the Blair Witch, I would go ahead and recommend it. Yeah, there you go. Send us a message. Let us know if you enjoyed it as well or if you hated it as well. Make sure to follow us on the Facebook page at the Captain Groovy and Final Girl Podcast. Follow us on everywhere you listen to your podcasts. You know, we're basically everywhere. All you have to do is ask your smart speaker, ask Alexa, you know, ask Siri. I mean, we're on, you know, Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Anchor FM. Look for us and we're there. So again, thank you again for joining us on another episode. Like we like to say here, go watch the movies and stay groovy. Peace.